This morning I'm turning to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, and I'll read to you verse 24 to 26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ with greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. This morning, this is our subject for this morning is are you part of the people of God? Are you part of the people of God? And this passage, we have an expression of it which we are told Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Who are they? I mean, many people claim to be God's people, and but the Bible often distinguishes for us the people of God among the many in the world at all times in history. And the American is another pay. The American Kakra no, the same Kakra, I can't find Moses. Now, actually, Moses, the Hunko born, a book born and call for him. Now, my cluster. Bible, Mary Bray, no can you call for Yamin call for? You can't call for any harm. Any wine, no, any American call for. The other thing is, some of the people say, I'm not a as somewhere, maybe not so, not a brain, say, what can Yamin call for one? Once you can, I'm in court for one. So that's what we're thinking this morning. But then the passage here we have is about Moses' determination to draw in his lot or join his living with the people of God. And we are told in this part of the Bible that it was a determination, which is an act of faith. Or his determination was an act of faith. Because we are told by faith, Moses. See, it was an act of faith, which first tells us, before when I come to my main point, tells us that all who come to be part of God's people come by faith. It's God is spirit. God is a spirit. And how do we know him? How can we walk with him? You see, it's only by faith. We only by faith. But then, each one of God's people who come to him by faith, they always act to prove that they have become God's people. See, faith is without works. Faith is not works. And yet, faith, if it is true, will show evidences by what it does. Because we are told Moses chose rather to suffer, meaning he didn't decide to believe in God, yes, he chose to be part, to join himself, so that he believed that God has a people. True, Moses was an Israelite, which I will give a little this number, but then it tells us that each individual must come to be part of God's people. Yeah, you can say, Moses, a cocaine, a hoop on call from Bible said, and I'm JDO, so Moses, a chance of and I'm Bible said, Moses, and I'm JDO, so nature said, JDO, no, no, or far, the two of us, or can I mean call for? And I said, Bible can't JD, JDA, Bia, said, JDA, and Yanjuma. As the JD and a prayer, said the Bible, a canoe, JD Bia, the Juma, a chesser, and a prayer. The every patient says, yes, the question with JD and Yankupomua, the Juma, though, in Juma, the Juma, the Giant, JD Giant, but in Juma, no chesser, JD and a prayer. So always, there's actions, obedience. Look at, if you look at this book of faith, as we say it, I mean, the heroes of faith, each one of them, when their faith is spoken about, the Bible tells us what they did afterwards. Like Noah, by faith, because he feared God, when he heard the warning, by faith, he prepared the ark. Abraham, by faith. And all those is by faith. Their faith is mentioned because that's the first thing. We have to give our minds to the Lord, and then obedience will follow. So that's not my topic this morning, but then it's part of our verse, so it's so interesting to look at that. Well, so we are told that Moses determined, his determination was a determination of faith, which resulted in his action in choosing sides with the people of God. So here, the people of God, as I've just hinted, were the Israelites who were suffering in Egypt due to one of the kings of Egypt who came on later on, years after the people of Israel came to Egypt, who has despised when he came, though all his ancestors have remembered that the good deeds that Joseph did and the reason why the people came to live in Egypt for him. He said no, he despised that good deeds of Joseph. You have that record in Exodus chapter 1, 8 to 22, and rather thought of evil against the people of God in Egypt. So this king came in, he didn't care about what God through Joseph did to the land of Egypt, which all his ancestors have respected. He threw it away. I mean, he's like many, many today who think that history is not important. What's important is what we do today. If we throw away history, we always make mistakes. Whatever area of life, though there are mistakes in history, we throw away, but history gives us greater lessons for the future. If we throw away history, even when we think of scientific discoveries and inventions today, you can never discover a new thing unless you know the history of things that came about. All the same, so this man threw away this history, but we know that it also informs us. Well, when he threw away that history and he abandoned the people of Israel, he threatened them and he caused them to suffer. You see, he brought suffering to the people of God, and it reminds us that the people of God are not free from sufferings in this world. God's people. We are told here about God's people. They mean that they are the people of his care in the whole world, and yet they were suffering in this world. Throughout the Bible, the record shows that God's people in this world suffer. And if you look at the heroes of faith, the faith in the, coming to the end, we are told of the very thing they suffered. Though some were delivered, some died in their sufferings, you see. I'm saying it because of the popular teachings nowadays, when you are a Christian, you don't need to suffer. It's a lie, you see. God's people were suffering in Egypt. So God has not made us his people to be free from suffering in this world. But then, when we think of Moses, by God's providence, we know from the records of scripture that he was born during the difficulty of the people of Israel. Remember, this king made a command that all the male children of Israel should be killed when they are born. It was in this time that Moses was born. And they kept him on a basket on the side of River Nile. And then the daughter of this king came to the water. We know what happened. He took him back. And then later it was his mother, Moses' mother, who came to take care of him. But the fact is that though this king did so much evil against the people of Israel, yet Moses, who was to become the deliverer of Israel, was raised by this king, his palace. You see, they trained him to become who he was, yet these people were trying to destroy the people of God. You see how the Bible tells us that in Psalm 76 verse 10, he says that surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shall thou restrain. The cruelty of man cannot destroy the work of God. Again, it's against this gospel teaching about, God has saved you, and yet it's like he cannot protect you. The demons and others should destroy you. No! God, the Bible teaches us that it is true. Even the cruelty of man and Satan's all his evil deeds, God will be done. It doesn't matter how they do. Look at the case of Moses. He was, in that period where this king was destroying the people of Israel. And yet it was this king's household that took care of Moses to become a man. You see how God does those things. As the psalm says, it is better to trust in God than in man, even in times of difficulties. So we see that God's providence always works for the good of his people, no matter how his enemies work against them. See? So that if we trust in the Lord, if we are true believers, we are among God's people, nothing should make us fear to serve him, to do his will. If we are afraid to do his will, it's our sin, then we sin. You see? Satan and all the cruelty of man cannot really harm his people. So that false teaching that, well, you are saved, but then there are some ancestral curses. No, it's another here. It's against the gospel truth. Because the gospel comes to bring us light about God and his blessings for us, to deliver us from the power of darkness. And yet this so-called prosperity preacher tell people that, well, God has saved you, but he cannot save you from this life trouble. It's amazing. Is that not so? But we see that the Bible tells us that God is able to work all things for the good of his people. And there you can say, if you Moses, you are one of Israel, Israel, for now, Egypt. Na saa ne yɛ ɔbaa yɛ a ɔbɛma yɛ zafo kɔ nkwa so ebi sɛ na ɔnkae dwumadi a Joseph edi ɔboa Egypt no. Ɛkyerɛ yɛn kyerɛ sɛ na Moses ne ho kɔbɔ Nyankopɔn nkɔɔfɔ. Yɛkyerɛ sɛ Nyankopɔn nkɔɔfɔ na ɔmo brɛ. Na sɛ Bible nkyerɛkyerɛ sɛ Nyankopɔn nkɔɔfɔ ɛnyɛ nkɔɔfɔ a abrabɔ mu brɛ no ɛnka ɔmo nso brɛ wɔ abrabɔ mu bi. Mmerɛ ne abrɛ bebree abrabɔ mu haw to ɔmo. Na deɛ ɛkyerɛ ne sɛ in the church we pray so we used to need to say how to so yeah this is how I mean abrabo how to and you pray that the Bible says that you can for even Hebrew you can you know over a way or shame is my jedi for a prayer if you cry through on kwa and pray not to me and go for this so yeah me di now the rest of Christo so now be any call for say the one in chow not so or two not be any bar and don't you say abrabo how and to betumi ato but nyankopon no ana betumi adanda o then there is also a question even yenhwe sa Moses ninsemi Moses kwa na nimbre no he no share say yen to abemmo e bewo mu bia to ntwe na enku mu same na ewo Moses so samre no ana nyankopon so fa so ma sa o hia ne baba ne be fa Moses emre to ne baba ne ma ni ko si nsu na no e ma o hin ne fi fo na hwe Moses o be ye or the Obey Penny Mafi, or Baba Boa Israel for Moyom. Then make us say, Yangupon, the two me, Obian to me in Dana. So I saw in the Juma, if you know, when some day at the Boya form to my dear, a bet, or Mujum one and Yangupon the Juma, if you not, and well, like us about the year, you'll say, or Mujum again to me in Yangupon. It is a in church, every much and as oh, Yangupon, the one kind of no moon, and no more, no me be any a bay for me that there be any other bread. Your mock channel and my uncle Ponson Pano. If you have one in the Spanish, I said, see, I hope on Jay or Jay, if you to me be answer. Say, or Jay or your one in China, never any call for no band and bar. To me be no better to me, no weapon. They'll quote this word, no weapon from against which I prosper. Yes, they'll go and this so called, this same prophet, they'll quote this. I think that power is in the hand of the prophet or the so called man of God. No, they'll tell no prophet from against which I prosper. And yet, they will direct them to themselves, not to God. If they don't know where come from again, the believer will prosper. What the deliverance? What is that mantra? What is the come to me and the prayer, whatever? Let those people go to God. You see, they are so deceptive that they want to make profit out of the word of God. They don't want, and well, they are blind themselves, you see. But then, this is just by the way. It's always, bring me to that point when I think of that kind of preaching. This is not scripture. And that's a common preaching everywhere. Attend the television, the radio, in the street, everywhere, you see. It's sad. They rather cover the gospel truth. The light of the gospel is covered by this false teaching. You see, there's power in the gospel. Okay, so the Bible has settled it. And, it's through our scripture that God's people, though they are not free from harm, yet God will keep them and provide for them. But if he doesn't want people to hurt them, he will keep them, you see. So, but going on to our subject, I'm sure that those of us who read our Bibles, we can remember how the Lord in the end brought deliverance to the people of Israel out for that slavery when Moses came back from 40 years when he ran away after that incident where he killed somebody, and that he reported that he was against them and he left Egypt. So that he came back again to deliver them, and remember what happened to the people of God, the people of Israel. But my focus here is not on this, the actual story of the people of Israel. But my concern is that for us to assess ourselves if we are also among God's people. My concern is God's people. So that's why I'm not looking at the whole verse, verse I've quoted. I'm not going to that. My concern is God's people. The people of God. God's people. But we are told that Moses chose his lot among God's people. He determined to put himself in the people of God and live and suffer with them. He said that he was choosing to rather to suffer affliction, meaning that immediately he was going to suffer, to be one with them. He knew they were suffering. But that did not deter him that, well, these people are God's people, they are suffering, so, well, let me go back. No. Yes, Moses, or Sinibu, 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 or Sinibu we will still hold it up and we want to own them. So how do we know if we are part of God's people? That's the question. But that's our focus. The whole story I'm talking about, my concern is how do we know? How do we know you are part of God's people? Because you know the Lord Himself required that each one of us, if we ever claim to be one of His people, we should certainly know. Well, He has given us marks in the Bible that tells us that His people, these are their marks. They make us say, "Uncle, for nangasa no, any person will be a that done." Say, "Pastor, you see, uncle, for person will be a who say, 'Be any uncle for ni pa na say uncle for uncle for ni be a.' Some young man will say, 'Who am I?' If uncle for person will be a bad that done, how can say be any who ni pa na for cause who? I uncle for them piece of the uncle for whom you see. He doesn't want each one of us to go that way, but people want to go that way. You see, but the marks are given us. And these are the marks, as we say, they are the marks of salvation from sin. Each, since the fall of Adam, each people that God will bring to Himself, He has to save them from their sin first. You see? This is the thrice holy God. How can we be His people while we are in sin? While we are sinners, you see? Then we can say, "Mraya, Adam, we are born. Ma bɔ ne bɛ wia se no si yankɔ bɛ fɔ obi ase ne nkɔ fɔ a this why ti o me fi ɔn bɔ ne ho efi yankɔ bɔ ye yankɔ bɔ krɔnkrɔnkrɔnkrɔn ebi se na wa fa ebi mu se ne nkɔ fɔ ɔbɛ ɔmu so ti ɔmu bɔ ne so say these are the marks of what salvation from sin. We can never be friends of God, the most holy God, without having been saved from our sinfulness. You see, remember the deliverance of Egypt is a picture to us. God delivered them from the power of slavery, which is a picture of the slavery to sin, which all who are born into this world are subject to slavery to sin. You see? And and God will make us know that He has saved us from what is against our souls. When the people of Israel were saved from Egypt, I'm sure they knew they were delivered. That was their son. After the crossing of the Red Sea, they sang praise to the Lord. Such a great deliverance. And if you read the books afterwards, and especially the Psalms, whenever they speak of the works of God, they make mention to their deliverance from Egypt. They make the greater works. I mean, they refer to founding of the army of Pharaoh. They always make reference to that. And for us, when as believers today, I mean, if we are, I mean, one of God's children, and what we always refer to is what Christ has done on the Calvary's cross. That's the only hope of sinners. That's the only thing that when people believe that Christ has died for sinners, that He came to this world to redeem us from the power of sin, so that I come as a sinner, I call on Him, I look upon myself, I've lived a life of sin against God. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. The Lord will look upon us, pity us, then He saves us. And this thing, when He does it, He gives a mark. Each one who is saved knows we may not know maybe the particular act. We will by and by we'll see how the change has come into our life, how we now become more concerned with God than anything in this world. Before, that wasn't with us. You see, the Lord will make us know He has delivered us. You see. The American say, "Coupon, or chin if you bonny moi, or ye baby we me who said, Majin. If we said, Sir Christo be woman bonny, so ordinary rep, name come to home up on you. And no penny my announce my good to me in your bonny fashion in your bonny home in your family. If you want them, see, I'm put on. I'm so safe at the morning. You say, 'Oh, me bonny, my bonnet here, right? You could write in a miss channel. Send them pieces of our money in terminus or the money terminal. Roman who said, 'On the money item, oh, my mayor's old man, and one seminar, well, minimal, I'm with daddy.' What my own. So the first mark of the lost people is the sense of their freedom from from sin's condemnation. The Dikaya, Yakupon call for, or sin and call for, we are sin. The Dikaya, I said, "Yeah, cut a mark, I shall swine, Omudikaya, and we say, 'Yakupon, who said, Omun Shabwane, no me asibium.'" They are free from condemnation of sin. You see, by God justifying His people through Jesus' atoning death, as I've already explained. This work that we call justification, where God is though a sinner, but because of Jesus Christ, He looks on him and what he has done, which appeases his anger against the sinner, and he says, "I have written off all your sins. Now I've given to you the records of Christ. Now you are free." So that He looks upon a sinner and says, "No,
is innocent.
This work, because of this, I mean, this act of grace, because of this work of, I mean, Lord Jesus Christ, when God does it, this, I mean, brings peace of conscience to the sinner. The Lord works in a way that the sinner who received this blessing senses a peace of conscience before God. You see, He makes him to be aware that he is no longer enemy of God, that God is not against him, and also that he is free from sin's condemnation. That whenever he thinks of God, it's not about God who may crush me, but God who is my friend. I can go to him as my father. I trust him. I share my secret with him. He becomes my everything. God does it so that the sinner finds this way of life which is so new. Before, well, he goes to watch, he goes to church, he could do some, I mean, religious, but now his heart is more moving to the fact that I want to have that things of God alone. And that only gives me joy. When I am in the things of God, when I am reading the Bible, when I'm praying, when I am, I mean, among God's people, that gives me joy. I won't even disassociate myself with my former associate in sin. Their lifestyle doesn't please me again. Their joy doesn't make me happy again. And their aims of this world, where money and riches and this world is their aim, is really being put me off. This is what God does in the heart. We cannot imitate it. No, because the human heart wants to follow after these things. But then God will work in my heart that I begin to see differently from what others. So the conscience is changed. I mean, God, let me bring this into us. That's what Romans 5:1 tells us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification brings us this peace. And it is the work of God alone. You say by faith, you know, like I said, God cannot do with us without faith. No, we cannot, that I should be sorry this way, we cannot do with God without faith. God doesn't need to believe, we need to believe. So that we get a real one. So God deal with us only by faith. When we come to believe, then He works these things in our hearts. So that every true believer is given a sense of forgiveness of his sins on the day he sincerely confessed his sins before the Lord and surrendered his life or her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And places entire trust in the shed blood of Christ on Calvary's cross for salvation and for life. I entirely give myself today. I entirely yield my heart today. I don't want to live in this world by my own wisdom. I don't want to follow up after my own pleasures, whether I think it's good or not. I don't want to live by my own wisdom. I am ignorant. Lord, be my wisdom, my everything. I want to give my heart to you. You see, this day when I come to do that, and you see, the word is sincerity. Sincerity, you see. People may do so, but no sincerity. They still want to laugh their sin. No, I want to join my Lord, this is my problem. And until I have felt that the Lord has helped me, I will not stop praying like that. Because Sunday, I can watch and say, Yanko Bombay, who said, and the Pope of me who said, Yelling one who are no me and there should be a white tea. I mean, why my team who is that? No, let me say, and then the same Yanko Bombay of Obu Bimua, and I lamp used to, therefore, a bonoa, a pata bonnet, who would fool noa. Siamu Poya, Ma Obia, or Yama de Boyne Via, not dream. Ebeye fine on your building. If you also drink a coupon is true, say the Yamupon, a town for another coupon, a UBS and the Buffish one. If you go, if you saw a man, Omonia Santia, and say one name, Asukin and Domuso. And a Romans chapter 5:1, because I was in our face, Yabuya and Bimo Jedisua, and then Yamupon Temu Asumbiaba and Nam Christo, Jesus. And the Bible makes us say, I hope we will be more in me and some Java. You say, I shall say, lay your tongue for. Now, this is a bit, sir, Obi Bonini, a Bible idea, you know, Shrem of Bonnie, Fatcher or the Kremlin, Saddam or kind of Bonnie Chenor, then a brown Bonnie, a Kuman, and the beef, the Yansen, the beef, the other say, Radius Christians, not the real Christians, and the Mojana, which you will cover the pet. And open up soon, which means young coffee bonim, which me I transfer by going more. Coupon who decided to panic more. No more, who said, Oye Bonnie, Asuchene Bonnie, no me, a finish. Eh, I think I could point it. If we said, Nipai, who said, I shall say, no, Nabia, many had the boy for a car and family. sisi ano me pese me ne madam poko mu di bo ne no akobio sisi akwa no eni da so da nkopo da se wi ase yo se wudi ye na opra bo esi yo na wu ni je no afa nye na madwe hu bio afa se mes ma wi ase fo echi o mudi ene sa no ma afa ma ko ma kra ndie every time se me disa yo wale chi na bi se ya dia nye ti esua ya se do kra ya ko ma na sha ti di echi da yesu ya mi ase na do ya twen a few more mo afa in your mother than me, I love the Bible, say, I treat him with eternity. Because Yahoo said, oh, so my, oh, we be more, say, or shall say, no, maybe we are problem. I mean, Obi, who say, if you bonnet, no bonnet, too many bonnet, no mania, if we say, bonnet, and another team, bonnet, and a BBR. So you see, so that it follows that God's people are those who have tasted of his mercy. Because the beginning of God taking the people to himself begins with his mercy. Because all are sinners who are under his wrath. You see, so that to become a God's people, to be part of them, we must taste his mercy. In 1 Peter 2 verse 10, it talks about God's people, which in time past were not the people, meaning were not the people of God, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. This is the description of God's people. So, if you appear more quiet, now you have to go for. But see, you have to go for. If you say first, now you have to go for. You have to go for. So, to be part of God's people, we must know his mercy first. We must know his forgiveness. You see, Peter, or church, one of the two, sorry. So you see that freedom from sin's punishment bring peace. Then also, with the ancient Accra, I mean, if you Accra wa ebo ne. No, mi se ebo no. Na wo fo ba ya mu na ofe. O ba nka sana. Afe bo mu se o dada ne ma me omne. Omne ma e fine. E den e ba akwa na kulu. Obi an kan afi ozu ko na mu a, the team ni a e fine. Then yes. Let's look at a child who has misbehaved in the house. He thought, oh, mommy or daddy will punish me. And they come into the house, well, they didn't punish him or her. And they left it. What happened to that child? Though they've not said anything, though the initial, the fear and everything is gone. Now, he walks to mommy and daddy, you know, without fear that, well, before he said, well, when I go closer to them, they may whip me. So, that's how we are with God. See, help God forgives us. There is peace. And there's God will work in our heart to realize that God, every sinner knows that he's not living right with God. No matter how religious a sinner becomes, he knows that sometimes people come and say, well, we are all not perfect. It is true, we are all not perfect. But then, it is true, the believer's perfection is in Christ. But then, the believer is somebody who doesn't say, we are not perfect, so I just live in sin. He is striving each and every day to be more closer to the things of God. He doesn't know any life of sin. Yeah, well, we are not perfect, so we just live. No! Every appearance of sin or everything that he comes, he's trying to avoid it and try to overcome it. But the one who say we are not perfect, so we, well, let us live anyhow. No! The believer's perfection is in Christ, but then he tries to pursue after perfection each and every day. And this peace I'm talking about, Lord Jesus Christ himself promised us. See that in John 14, verse 27, I said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither it be afraid. This peace begins with our reconciliation with God. When we taste his mercy, we begin to have that peace. And this peace continues practically in life. This peace follows us. You see? It follows us so that life troubles do not overcome the believer. So I say that not the peace of this world, not the peace where the world will have. I mean, when everything in the world is quiet, then I have peace. No. Everything will be chaos, turned upside down by the believer. Hope is in the Lord. He's not shaking a mood. He still trusts in the Lord. He's willing to obey the Lord and live. You see? This is what we are talking about. So, there's a sense of freedom from condemnation of sin. The second mark is that of God's people, that their power over sin. You see, not only are they sent their freedom, it's another thing, the power over sin. And this follows after justification of the sinner by God. The power over sin. And this kind of, we are thinking of this kind of peace that comes to the conscience. Because people can deceive themselves with that peace. People may live in sin and go, they think, well, I'm okay. I mean, my God, people may live in sin and we said them, they try to shut down their conscience. I mean, they try to silence their conscience, and they say, "Well, nothing bothers me. I mean, I'm a good. I mean, I'm okay. I mean, so when such people tell them things of God, I mean, I'm a good. I mean, I'm okay. God. I mean, we tell the God is angry with me, but I don't feel it. God, there's no anger of God upon me, and they live in sin. They think that they have peace. They are sinners' peace." We deceive some people thinking that they have the peace of God. No, that's not what we are talking about. Because that peace which comes from this reconciliation, it follows by other things. And the next thing follows is that the power over sin. This sinner who is justified by God, though he has this a sense of peace, but it is backed by his control over sin. And this increases the assurance that God is reconciled with me. If I do not become somebody who is having that control over sin, I cannot claim that my peace of mind is from God. No, it's not possible. So, because if control over sin is not realized, whatever peace we have is false. It's false. Because it is this control over sin that will increase our peace and our assurance that yes, God has saved us. God, it includes that God will save us from our sin. Meaning, give us power also over our sins, you see. The air can say, this was a third. You have to go to me upon this. I'm saying, wait, they say, I'm going to go to me. That's all my IBM. You have to say, only 50 years. I say, I'm going to go to me deep on this. It is a. Or before that, well, my Jumu, Sometimes some people may fall into, they nearly fell into an accident, whatever, and sometimes they will say, well, there was no bad things in my mind, or well, I'm a bad person, that's why it didn't happen to me. Or people say, oh, he wasn't a bad person. People say it, I've heard people saying it. So such people walk as if, well, they have their, but they are somehow before God, they are better. That's how God delivered them. It's a lie, you see. Because God sometimes delivers his enemies from harm. I mean, doesn't mean that. I mean, this is a general goodness of God to all the creation. And the Bible tells even this goodness should move them to repentance. But rather, they will take it that, well, God has peace with them. No, so we are talking about somebody who realizes that God has nothing against him. But then this person don't have power over his sin. It's a false peace. Whatever, peace he thinks that he has from God is false. Because if our peace from God is true, the power of sin is given us. The battle against sin begins. We are not those who settle in any nonsense. And I've known some of these people, they don't even care if they lie. That's not sin for them. They don't, no. But they say, well, I have no. So when they ask them, I have no sin in my mind. I just wonder how they value sin. I stand before them, I say, how can you say you don't have any sin? It's amazing, right? People claim that. Believers, no matter how mature we are, we are so sinners. We are so subject to all various temptations. And if we joke, we'll fall into them. If we don't obey the Lord, we'll fall into the kingdom. Sins that we have overcome 10 years ago. If we don't obey the Lord and follow, the rule, the principles of the spiritual life, we will fall into those things again and we will hurt ourselves. Nobody is so strong that he can say that, well, for me, I am so super powerful against it. Nobody. Until we are dead. Then we are free from the trouble with sin. So we see here this conscience of the sinner. And we are told about this blessing that follows this peace of conscience in Romans chapter 6, verse 5 to 6. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, referring to Jesus Christ, our Savior, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. You see the connection? Because all justification has to do with God, Christ dying for our sin, our sin being buried with him, so that it is canceled. You see that if we have been planted together in that likeness by faith, we shall also be in the likeness of resurrection. The resurrection brings the active life of the believer, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You see the connection? If it is true, God have justified us, Christ have died, spiritually, Christ, we died with Christ, then his resurrection, the power of his resurrection shall come to us. So that the atoning death of Jesus Christ is the cause of all the blessings of salvation from sin. So believers' control over their sins testifies their union with the resurrected Christ. Christ died, he didn't die forever, he rose up. So that if we are united with his death, we shall also come to know the power of his resurrection. I'm sure the power of resurrection power. I know there's a church that resurrection power ministry and all that. People claim that. But do people really realize that resurrection power? It's not, to do miracles and all those things. No. It is that power that moves us to holy living. You see? And it says also, it tells us, if we have been planted together in his death, that you live a life that shows that you have been saved from sin. All forms of sin in our heart, in all around us. So to have a dislike for a life of sin is one of the marks that we have. Christ's death has saved us from sin. Not that we may never sin, but to have that entire dislike for a life of sin. I don't want to live in a rebellion to God. I don't want to be aware that I'm in any sin that's against God, and I'm settling it, and I am not asking to help me to overcome, and that I am not making daily progress, that I overcome every nonsense in my life. The sinner who is not saved doesn't want that. Sometimes he thinks something is wrong, and he thinks of it more when it does something to his worldly reputation. Well, maybe I lie, but then I found out that people knowing that I'm a liar may make me lose some things, then to become concerned. But then, if that lie gives me profit and advantages, no, I don't care about that. You see? As a believer, whether it gives him advantage or not, so long as it's a lie, he asks the Lord to help him to get rid of such life. And it is his desire to the Lord. He sees a progress that, Lord, nowadays, I am not as I used to be before. That's the life of the one who is planted to the death of Christ. He's planted. And also, in the likeness of his resurrection, is to have the desire and thought turned from worldly things to Christ and heaven. To be in the likeness of his resurrection, a life of holiness, you see. And the Apostle Paul, Romans, says, Yeni Christo ewua, then no so I day. I'm sorry. Ni wo no chew ye bo ne facha ya wo pon dia chew se ne bo ni wo no e de ye bo ni ya ko si ye me etwem. En ti sai no kra ye se ti asu wi asu mu ni no. De wo so ye tumi no se e de di wa bra bo. En ye kron kron bra bo ne tin ni bra bo ye bo. En ti bin tumi ga se me Christ wo wa ma me. Na so me de bi me bo me nya obi a bi ku bo ne a makuma. I am sure, sir. Yangu pumbana mi film. Ne mommy dia meti mi boni. Sir, entrona mi kia. Well, sir, mami faswa dia is okay. But sir, hami dia na mi dia. And now, sir, mi obia. Well, entrona dia mi boma bravo. Na bi ni parusha si sir. Obia Christu e uaman na e dia jene mi kwano. Fis amre le kono. Na bravo ni a obi sir. Sonya mi eni ana. Enyo na bi no deyo. Babu. That means oyo obi obi sonya mi asa. Oyo obia otinya mi insempa. Because if we don't, read the Bible and know the truth of the Bible, how can we know the principle that will, conduct a Christian life, you see? So this person, any genuine believer, immediately he is converted, he begins to learn the Bible. Because that's the only way he can know the will of God, you see? So in the likeness of resurrection means that the desires and thoughts will turn. But where is Christ? He's in heaven. In Colossians chapter 3, 1-3, if he then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For ye are dead, your life is hid with Christ. This is the meaning of what the Romans chapter 6 I just quoted. You see, so that if I am saved, my heart turns to him. My hopes, my joy, my goodness, my life, my well-being. Is the Savior who is there. And if he is the one that I look up to, how? He's my master too. So I don't live for the world. If it is his will that I should do this and that and that, oh Lord, give me strength to do. It doesn't matter. You see how the Christian life, I mean, gospel, their Lord, this is the map of gospel. God is in, he's everywhere, but the Lord Jesus Christ is up there for us. You see? He's here, he's everywhere, but we are told that he's seated there where his throne and his glory is manifestly seen. So clearly manifested everywhere. But then we are told to lift up our eyes to this resurrected Savior. And his resurrection teaches us of what? Power over sin. Because Satan and sin, his resurrection brought them to a failure, and that he conquered death. When we say that he conquered death, Satan and the world, that's what it means. This is sin and its power. Satan and all that is in the world, but Christ did conquer them because it brings us freedom so that we can obey him without fear. Friends, to be certain that you are part of God's people, it is not enough that you claim to be believe in Lord Jesus Christ. You must experience his resurrection power, power over sin, power over all sins that we know in our lives. And my question to you is that, do you have these evidences of freedom from sin? Do you have this evidence in your life, in your heart? Do you have them? Have you taken back the territory of your heart where pride, lust, greed, envy, selfishness, hatred, and whatever these things live? Have you taken back that territory? You know, when this prosperity preacher, when they are talking about the territory the people of Israel took from their enemies, they interpret it like how in this life have to also prosper and every aspect of our life should prosper. No. For us, our territory is our hearts. Satan and sin have taken our hearts before we are born. And when God saves us, that's what we have to overcome. The territory where pride has taken, where lust has taken, where greed has taken, where envy, hatred. There's so much. The enemies are many. And that's what the believer does. The giant is not, economic downfall or economic destruction or worldly wars. The giant of our lives are these sins in our hearts, which we must overcome. The Goliath of our life is our own heart, which leads us astray from God, you see. So have you taken back the territory of your heart where sins have taken possession? That's what the believer is concerned about. This is how we live the Christian life. Or if you have not taken the possession of sin in your heart, then you have to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to repent and come to him. Because that's the only way you can really be among God's people. And all God's people are taking their territory. See how Joshua led the people of Israel to take one nation after the other on the promised land? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is leading us. He's like Joshua. You see, he's leading us, each one of our disobedience, each one of our sins that are against the Lord, spiritually, he's leading us. And he saves us, he leads us to arm ourselves. Remember the Christian armor in Ephesians chapter 6? It's spiritual, it's not physical. The Bible tells us the weapons of our warfare is not carnal. And yet, this so called prosperity preacher will tell people the Christian have to overcome poverty. Well, if we are living right and we have working, the Lord will provide for us. If we are lazy, we fall into poverty. Well, there are disasters and accidents, only God knows. But then the Lord takes care of those who don't care about him. But my concern, your concern, if we know the Lord, or we know the Lord, is our heart. You see? And that's what the Lord wants us to be concerned. The people of God, they are concerned in their heart. That's where God's enemy dwells. That's where Satan. Satan cannot come and do us anything. He only play with our hearts and our minds, which is so filled with things of this world. And when he take our minds and hearts to the things of this world, he has gotten us. You see? And that's what he is doing for sinners. Each and every day, that's what the Bible calls them, they are earthy. The human, our physical structure, we are earthy. Earthly. But then the spirit is spiritual. You see the difference? So, have you taken the possession of your heart? Only the Lord Jesus Christ can lead you. Like Joshua led the people of old, only he can lead you. Friends, my time is gone, but then I want to quickly touch on the last part. The last part, the gospel have a sense of their new birth. Salvation from sin brings believers into the family of God. See? The day everyone is saved from sin, God makes a change in the soul. He renews the mind and it imparts spiritual life into the soul. You see, indeed, when the Spirit comes into half his body, the soul of the saved, there's a different change. There's so much, a huge change in the faculties, in the this the heart and desires of a person. So by the Spirit's residence in the believer's heart, he's moved to pray sincerely. Now his prayer is not about what I'll eat, what I'll drink, just his prayer is much of the spiritual strength to become so much close to God. He loves the word of God. For that only way he can become wise in the ways of God. He loves to obey the commands of Christ sincerely. Has Christ said, has the Lord demands that I should, I want to obey. God help me. Whatever the hindrances, if I should suffer, I will. You know the heroes of faith. By faith, they have to suffer for their obedience. That also. And then he moves them to make nothing in this world the object of their joy or comfort. The believer doesn't make things of this world his happiness or comfort. Whether I have or not, it doesn't change my joy in the things of the Lord. It's moved them to be content and humble in all changes of life. Whether I'm brought low, whether I'm brought high, in the eyes of the things of the world, it doesn't change me. I am always happy that the Lord is kind God. He's dealing with me. And that he chooses best for me. That whatever he brings to my way, it is his good will. I don't struggle and fight against providence. That today when I have lost, then I am sad. When I have money, I'm happy. No, the Christian is not like that. The people of God is trained, is brought up to realize that the Lord is with them. And that the earth is not their home. How can a traveler become discontent if he doesn't have plenty of water to drink in a particular town or city? He knows that, well, I'm carrying on by and by, I'll reach home. I'm sure when we are traveling and we are being thirsty, I don't want to buy any water. I want to get home and drink water. Yes, so the believer, whether I have much or not, oh, my home is in heaven. The Lord take me or Christ will come. I'll have full of happiness and comfort in heaven. And that's what I'm looking up to. So whether illness is, whether loss is or disappointment, I trust in the Lord. I want to live to please him. You see, this is what the Lord does for us when we are saved. And also to serve the Lord with no selfish motive. You see, there are many who claim to be Christians and then their service, they want human praise. No! Believers serve the Lord. They spend their wealth. They will spend their time, they spend their life for the Lord without money. What? Can we buy salvation? No. What Christ has done for us, beyond what we can give. So how do I say I will not want to give what I have for him? The believer is going to just spend his life for the Lord, you see. And this is a mark of God's people. God's people want to give themselves everything to him. They are not those who, when they do support the work of God, or they themselves are involved in the work of God, their time or their resources, then they are recalculating. No. Remember, that man before the Passover, Lord Jesus Christ told the people to go to such and such a place. When they find a donkey, they should tell the owner that the Lord has needed. I don't know if that man was a dream. It's always an amazing thing. When they told the person, we are not told that the person said that it's a picture of what? Children, up to the Lord, whatever we have for his glory. And are we among God's people? If we are, the Lord will make us become so. Friends, do you know this change? Have you come to realize this change? You know, to mature, if we have been believers, we have to mature in these things. But it should be there. We should be those. If we are Christians, if we are among God's people, if we are part of God's people, these things will be there. And by, it will grow. But if we are not, we are not having these desires in our hearts, we can be among God's people. All genuine God's people know these experiences. Friend, are you a stranger to these experiences? Are you a stranger from freedom from sin? Freedom from sin's condemnation? Are you a stranger to the power over sin? Are you a stranger to the sense of the new birth? Friend, then
As I said before, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what is there for us. Come to Him. He has died on the cross of Calvary to give us these things, to make us be sure that if we want to become God's people, He will make us be sure. He will give us, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we are told, the spiritual minds make us to discover the things that God has given to us freely. This is what we do look at in the evening, that by the spirit indwelling and His coming, His illumination, we are able to discern the blessings of God's grace for us through the word that we hear. And we are happy to hold them. But the Lord help us, and that if we have never come to Him, may we come to Him. Come to Lord Jesus Christ and trust in Him alone. He alone can save us and grant us these blessings. Shall we